Back on Downtown, it's time for Message in the Bottle, brought to you by Bangor Wine and Cheese Company at 86 Hammond Street in downtown Bangor. Eric Meehan joins us. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon to everybody in Radioland. How you doing?
Outstanding. How are you today?
Not bad. It's a beautiful day, actually. I mean, you know, the winter chills are setting in, but we know how to do that. You just put on more clothes, which I wish more people would do.
Yeah, but you have to take a few off. It's going to be up in the 70s later in the week.
I know. Listen, things are looking up. It's going to be a nice couple of days here, I think.
Your Giants even got a win.
Yeah, well, that's nice. It's the conundrum of every middling team is, do you pray for wins or losses at this point? Because I'll tell you that that young man out of Ohio State would look really good in blue and red.
Oh, yes.
Just saying. Make Daniel earn his money by throwing to the son of a Hall of Famer, future Hall of Famer himself. I could do that. I could do that. Probably not going to happen, though. We're probably going to get, the 10th pick. Good, thanks, guys. Very useful. Because that's how we roll. But that's okay. That's okay, because Eric Meehan, the Timbers, finished the season undefeated soccer team. Anybody out there who's listening who's the parent, grandparent, or kin of one of the Timbers, you should feel very proud of your sons. They listened to coaching, which I was unprepared for, but it worked, and that was very cool. So, yeah, it was a good weekend as well.
Wow, nicely done.
For both Eric Meehan's, yeah, it was all good. Cool, so let's finish up with our fair nation today. I wanted to sort of talk about the rest of everything, which is going to take a little while, but we don't have that much time, so we'll hurry. But just to remind everybody that the Vikings, when they got here, named us Vinland. There was just a profusion of grapes everywhere already. They were not the Vitis vinifera kind that we like to drink, but there were obviously Vitis lambrusca and other such, Vitis riparia, that are just all over the East Coast. And eventually that is obviously what we started grafting vines onto to make them survive with the phylloxera louse. So we've always had a history of grapes here in this country. Verrazzano, Giovanni Verrazzano, he's got a bridge named after him. Well done. But anyway, the famous explorer mentioned grapes of New York in his writings. So it's been a thing. So it's not new. But the actual turning of these things purposely into wine is definitely more recent. In fact, the first wine thought to be made in the U.S. was actually made in Florida in the 1560s. It was also the making of wine was in the founding charters of both the Virginia and the Carolina colonies beginning in 1619. That was part and parcel of the thing. As we've often noted, basically, wherever humanity goes, especially white people, we like to bring our drink with us. And indeed, that's literally, in the documentation. We know that phylloxera kind of ruined things, but once people sort of started to figure things out, use grapes that were found here, then wine definitely started to spread. It spread in the American South. And also most notably in the Ohio Valley, Pennsylvania, Virginia, etc. The first commercial success of wine was the Pink Catawba from Ohio, from a guy named Nicholas Longworth, and that was in the mid-1830s. So you can see that, we figured out how to get our drink on no matter what the world threw at us, and so that's where we were. Of course, I don't have to tell you that Prohibition, World Wars, of course, influenced a lot of that. But to sort of look at the overview of where North American, specifically United States, winemaking is, before we officially leave the western part, west of the Mississippi, and these are places that may be in severe danger because of climate change. both because of drought, as well as we'll talk about Texas really quickly because of some other things. But there are certainly, I don't want to be remiss, there are significant-ish plantings in parts of Colorado, certainly New Mexico and Arizona. They, unless they're super awesome at dry farming, are, you know, they need irrigation, and we just don't know what the future of that looks like. So I would imagine that a lot of the agricultural types out there, including vineyard owners, are kind of sweating this. So that's just something to keep in mind. But there are some decent wines being made, especially out of, you know, grapes you do know out there. And I mentioned Texas. Texas, especially the Texas, what's known as the Texas Hill Country, actually makes some good wines, but they are in danger of things like hail big time. They really have no protection against things like that. And a lot of the vines there are on the younger side, so they just can't take the sort of abuse. So that's sort of the places that I wanted to hit. Oh, also, I didn't really mention when we were talking about the Pacific Northwest, but actually Idaho makes some really, really wonderful wines as well, especially along the Sawtooth Mountains. I wanted to mention that. As we go further, I did want to mention Michigan has a strong wine tradition, definitely, especially out of a lot of the native grapes that we were talking about, like the Lambrusca grapes. So they have a lot of that. They also do a lot of fruit wine, which is cool, and that's their own sort of thing. So anyone from Michigan, don't send me hate mail or anything like that. I am mentioning. but the most significant plantings and the things that people are starting to take seriously are, you know, more on the east, eastern side of the country. Pardon me, I'm parched today for some reason. First of all, you've got to start with New York State, which is clearly the leader in really quality wines, both obviously in the Niagara region and then stretching through the Finger Lakes. These are the places where you're starting to see, you know, upwards of 50-year-old vine plantings of certainly Germanic grapes and also the other cold-weather grapes, as well as some interesting hybrid grapes. So you're certainly seeing, you know, your plantings of Riesling, Riccatelli, things like that, as well as Pinot Noir. You're seeing some, as I said, some hybrid grapes that are based off of Pinot Noir, Bacco Noir, for instance. And they're delicate and beautiful, and certainly, you know, some of the more prime terroir is showing, as well as any, you know, specifically, I guess, the Riesling is the gem, and those wines are showing as beautifully as anything else can. Also, interestingly, Cabernet Franc, which is more famous from the Loire Valley, especially in France, turning out some lovely examples there. And then the other part of New York that's showing real promise is obviously the Long Island wineries. As you go out further east on Long Island, you will start to encounter many, many wineries actually at this point. And they're growing some nice Chardonnays, again, Cabernet Francs, things, again, like you'd see sort of an amalgamation of the Loire slash Burgundy area in France. And it's really quite interesting. And then, of course, kind of going down the eastern seaboard, New Jersey and Pennsylvania, specifically more eastern Pennsylvania, are growing some really quality grapes and making a lot of efforts into sort of figuring out what the right grapes there are. There are plantings of things like Spanish Albariño, certainly a lot of Bordeaux-style grapes like Cabernet Sauvignon, Merlot, interesting Syrah planting. So they're really sort of trying to figure it out. Certainly Chardonnay, because frankly, you can grow Chardonnay anywhere, and a lot of these wineries, you know, are trying to make money. So you'll find Chardonnay from pretty much every winery. And also fruit wines from there as well, because, of course, New Jersey has a lot of other fruits available to it. So you're seeing a lot of interesting things, and they're trying to find themselves. And I imagine, especially in this era of climate change, that proves particularly hard in the swampy mid-Atlantic region. Mm. And I can say that because I'm from the swampy mid-Atlantic region. And then we move a little farther south, more towards Virginia. Now, Virginia is growing some really interesting stuff as well. Specifically, I always like to bring up the grape Tannat, T-A-N-N-A-T, but also Viogniers, things like that. The Barbersville Vineyard in Virginia, started and owned by the Zonin family, famously of Italy, who are Prosecco makers as well as other things. That's been a long-term operation that's making some really fine wines. And there's other, you know, smaller operations that are less well-financed, but still making some really quality stuff. So Virginia is certainly showing well, and, you know, we'll just sort of see where they continue to go. And then, of course, they are plantings down through the rest of the South, and, of course, the famed Muscadine wines of the South, which are of questionable quality, but people seem to like them. And bear in mind that pretty much every state in the nation has wineries. Are they growing their own grapes? Maybe. Are they bringing in grapes from outside? Probably. Is it a mix of both? More than likely. Certainly that's the case here in Maine, that, you know, people are you know, doing a combination of both, in terms of, you know, just trying agritourism and trying to, you know, frankly, make it, because climate change slash being in Maine, especially, is tough. But there's wine out there. Go discover it. Go see, you know, even if it's just purchase grapes, you're going to get to see some interesting stuff. So go visit your local wineries. And when you're visiting other states, go visit theirs as well. And I'll talk to you guys next week.
That's a great plan right there. By the way, a quick congratulations on being named one of the 10 best cheese shops in Maine.
Oh, another delightful surprise. And, you know, despite it being sort of the dreary days of autumn, my life is not so bad. You know, G-Men got a win, undefeated soccer team, best cheese shops. I just placed an order today for so many good things to come in for the holidays. So just keep coming in, folks. We got new stuff and great stuff every day.
Can't wait. Thanks, Eric. We'll see you next week.
Thank you, folks. Bye-bye.
Eric Mahon, Bangor Wine and Cheese Company, Message in the Bottle, every Tuesday afternoon here on Downtown.